from St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
And yet, there are still some really good, really experienced reporters at the Post-Dispatch that I imagine, based on what Alden did in Chicago to the Tribune, they could still find some savings on your staff.
Well, yeah, you can. The question becomes, how quickly is there just nothing left, though? It's a good question because we're just about to see the end of the print advertising that still pays a lot of the bills. Mm-hmm. And once that's gone, now you're down to digital subscriptions, and you can't support a newsroom of much size with a digital subscription. And eventually, if you keep cutting, nobody will pay for a subscription when there's no content.
I'm Sarah Fenske. Last week, Alden Global Capital revealed that it had made an offer to buy Iowa-based Lee Enterprises. That was huge news in St. Louis because Alden has become infamous for gutting the newspapers it purchases. And in addition to 89 other dailies, Lee Enterprises owns the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The unsolicited offer has the Post-Dispatch newsroom feeling anxious. And joining us now with more is Jeff Gordon. He is a St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist, and he's also president of the union that represents staffers at the paper. Jeff, welcome.
Yeah, I wish we were under better circumstances, but glad to be here.
We're happy you're here, even with these circumstances. And we're also joined today by Kayvon Mansouri. He's the investigative reporter for the Midwest Newsroom. That's a partnership between NPR and member stations to bring more investigative journalism and in-depth reporting to the region. And he's based right here in St. Louis. Kayvon, welcome.
Good morning, Sarah.
So, Kayvon, let's start with you. Who exactly is Alden Global Capital?
So, Alden Global Capital is a hedge fund based out of New York. They have, over the past decade or so, made a business out of purchasing newspapers and that corporations that own newspapers, and basically have come under having a reputation of gutting those newspapers in a way of decreasing staff, just cutting wages altogether, and their newest target seems to be to take over Lee Enterprises Incorporated.
So, Jeff, prior to this announcement last week that they had this unsolicited offer, did you guys have any idea that they were interested in you and interested in Lee Enterprises?
Oh, sure. I mean, they've been busy. But they got involved, of course, buying the Tribune Company, made a bid for Gannett before that, which the National News Guild helped fend off. And they've just been, Alden's been busy. It's been on the prowl. Earlier, it had purchased some stock in Lee. We thought that perhaps their interest had waned, but then you're never completely surprised when Alden knocks on the door, given the interest in the business. And, Lee's been trying to prepare for this, has taken a number of steps trying to protect itself against the sort of takeover. But at the end of the day, Alden has the ability to get a lot of capital. And has been successful in many cases of takeover companies. So we're hoping for an outcome like Gannett and not for an outcome like Tribune Company.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned this attempt that Alden made to purchase Gannett, a very large newspaper company. The News Guild was involved in fighting that. What was the key to winning that battle with these guys?
Well, their board resisted, and just as Lee's board is resisting. And the other thing that they had to hurry up and do, Gannett did, or was get another to merge with the folks at Gatehouse, which another company that I dealt with extensively, our union has, because we represent several newspapers in that chain. And Mike Reed, against all odds, managed to engineer a merger. He's the CEO of what was then Gatehouse. And so they had more of a white knight, a similar type company. The merger of the two, I mean, certainly Mike's known for cutting costs as well, but they were able to partner up with another firm, just as really Lee earlier partnered up with Warren Buffett's chain to get bigger. And now the question becomes, can Lee do it again with another company, or can it somehow fend off Alden by itself?
So, Kayvon, Jeff mentioned there this plan that Lee has already put in place. Last week, Lee's board approved a shareholder rights plan. This is also known as a poison pill. What does that mean?
So basically what Lee is trying to do here is they're saying if Alden gets to a certain point with its share ownership, they're going to adopt a poison pill. What that means is they'll start diluting their shares, basically, by making it cheap for current shareholders to purchase new stock. And basically, they'll, you know, to put it in the sports term, like in soccer, park the bus and try to fend off Alden from making this purchase. Now, this can can lower the price of shares. It can make them, it can be kind of a bait for more purchase. But it seems what Lee has at least said publicly is that this is their attempt to basically say, no, we don't want to be purchased. We don't want this hostile takeover. And this is their defense.
So we reached out to a spokeswoman for the Post-Dispatch, and she referred comment to the corporate office in Iowa. And a spokesman there said, our company does not have any further comment beyond the public statements that have been made. Well, those public statements basically have come from Lee Enterprises chairwoman Mary Junk. She announced the shareholder rights plan, the poison pill, on Wednesday. She said the plan would give the board and its shareholders time to assess Alden's proposal without undue pressure. Quote, consistent with its fiduciary duties, Lee's board has taken this action to ensure our shareholders receive fair treatment, full transparency, and protection in connection with Alden's unsolicited proposal to acquire Lee. Now, Jeff, this is somewhat interesting here because your union has been critical in the past of Mary Junk, has been critical of Lee Enterprises, but I bet at this point you're rooting hard for them to succeed here.
Well, yeah, it is funny because we had a knockdown, drag-out legal fight that resulted in a multi-million-dollar settlement for some retiree medical benefits that weren't paid our people that were promised. So we've had some big battles with Lee over the years. However, the guild, our local and the national guild, considers Lee to be, as we like to say, the least terrible owner out there among the newspaper chains. And we will work with Lee. We did send a letter to the board today. We published it on our website, unitedmediaguild.org, and all the other guild locals have done the same. So we will work with Lee to try to convince the board to continue the fight and also shareholders to reject this push. So we are on their side because Lee has made a good faith effort to keep journalism alive. They've done a lot of cost cutting, but frankly, given the state of the industry, Lee's had little choice. It's the only way it could A, survive, and B, fend off people like Alden.
So Lee bought the Post-Dispatch back in 2005, and it paid $1.46 billion. There are a lot of people who point to this as this did not end up being a good move for Lee, that the debt from that move is part of why they've had to engage in so much cost-cutting. Do you think they've grown to regret purchasing you guys?
At that price, yeah. I mean, it was a great price for Emily Pulitzer.
Joseph Pulitzer.
A friend of the station here and a friend of St. Louis, and she sold it just the right time. So Lee's been dealing with that debt, obviously, the entire time. Now, to Lee's credit, it's continued to buy down or pay down the debt. And then by partnering up with Warren Buffett, I think it got back over the hurdle. You know, I think it he sold them their his newspapers, and he also loaned them the money to do it at a favorable rate. 25-year term, 8.5%, I believe, compared to the 11% plus over 4 years that Gatehouse had to get buy Gannett. So, you know, yeah, the timing was bad. The price was high. But, you know, to Lee's credit, Lee has stayed the course and has continued to put out the best product it could under the circumstances.
And so, as you mentioned, Jeff, that product it's a much leaner operation than it used to be. And Kayvon, the big question, as I was out and about over this last weekend talking to people about this news, because, of course, it's the big thing everyone in St. Louis is talking about, is people are saying, how does Alden even see the Post-Dispatch and newspapers like it as a big source of revenue? How can they see this as a big profit center when newspapers are, frankly, in some trouble? What's the key to how they make this work when nobody else does?
So that's kind of a big question that a lot of people are asking. When this first started, these purchases of newspapers, there were a lot of assets to be sold, real estate, newsrooms that have been owned for many years, vans for deliveries, things of that nature. But over time, you know, as you noted, revenue's gone down, but the real fact of it is there's always more assets to be stripped, as noted in the article, down to the bone. That's how it gets sometimes. There are salaries to be cut, and just in general, more cost savings to be done. Now, I talked to Kathy Keeley, she is the chair of the free speech at Mizzou School of Journalism, and she basically kind of raised the question, if there's no further revenue, if things are getting down to the bare bone, there is the question of why? Why continue doing this? And I think that's kind of an unanswered question at this point. When people and a lot of journalists look at what Alden is doing, they ask themselves, why continue on this? And I think Kathy said to me at one point, well, she thinks that if she were going to come up with a recipe, I believe she said, for hurting democracy or getting rid of democracy, getting rid of newspapers would be one of the first things that she did. That obviously was all hypothetical, but it raises an interesting question.
So, Kayvon, people are worried that even beyond the desire to make money off of these newspapers, that Alden is somehow rejoicing in the harm that it can do in the process, that there might be some other motivation here? Is that her suggestion?
I don't know if it's her suggestion, but perhaps her musing at it. It's certainly something people wonder, but it's hard to know. There's always money to be made. I think that hedge funds, when they buy up these newspapers, I believe it's proven over time that that's the scheme. But it's not quite clear if they're making if they have some sort of ulterior motive that outside of that.
Jeff, it is interesting to think about the Post-Dispatch. I mean, those of us who knew what daily newspapers used to be like 15 years ago, it is sad to see how small that newspaper is today and how many experienced reporters have left. And yet there are still some really good, really experienced reporters at the Post-Dispatch that I imagine, based on what Alden did in Chicago to the Tribune, they could still find some savings on your staff.
Well, yeah, you can always... You can. The question becomes, how quickly is there just nothing left, though? I mean, obviously Lee's already sold the building that the newsroom was in. It still owns a printing press, but prints the paper, the Southern Illinois, and some other things in addition to the Post-Dispatch. I suppose you could sell that off and hire someone far away to print the newspaper. But, the long-term prognosis for a paper facing the sort of cuts and the sort of price increases that they also inflict on the readership, I could see 4 or 5 years from now there really wouldn't be much left at all. And so that would probably be not an unfair prognosis for the Post-Dispatch if Alden gets its way. Why would they do that, the old burning cigar investment where they just take it and run through it and then they're done? Particularly when they have to pay, in this case, a premium to buy it, because Warren Buffett owns the debt, and he set up a poison pill of his own in the loan that says he needs to be paid a premium if somebody comes in and buys the newspaper. So, it's a good question, because we're just about to see the end of the print advertising. And when that goes away, that still pays a lot of the bills. Mm-hmm. And once that's gone, now you're down to digital subscriptions, and you can't support a newsroom of much size with a digital subscription. And eventually, if you keep cutting, nobody will pay for a subscription when there's no content. So I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. It's Lee tried to prevent this by cutting as much as humanly possible and selling off buildings and running a tight ship and consolidation and all these things. But, like I say, there's always one more way to do it. McClatchy is now having all the page design done overseas. Not just the advertising, but the actual page designs are being done like India. And so people with no idea of a local geography, you never know what might turn up in your daily paper as a result.
So as someone who loves reading the newspaper, and I like the actual print paper in my hand, this just all makes me sick. Jeff, what's going through your mind when you think about your years in journalism and your years at the Post-Dispatch?
Well, for me, I'm going to turn 65, and I've worked for a couple newspapers, and I went through the good times, and I've now seen the leaner times. And it's just being part of a sad decline of what happened. I mean, I was there when the Pulitzers really had the Post going, just like the New York Times and the Midwest. Back in the day, we were jammed full of incredible journalists. And we still have highly talented people like Pulitzer Prize winning Tony Messenger and just any number of tremendous news reporters we have uncovering things. But, it's sad to think back of what it was and really what it could still be under the right circumstances. We're just here to try to last as long as we can, do the best we can for as long as we can, but it's depressing.
So, yeah, depressing. That's a great word for it. Kayvon, you're familiar with newspapers. Until recently, you were working for the Belleville News Democrat. You're now here with NPR's Midwest Newsroom. What's going through your mind as you watch this story play out?
Yeah, you know, I can't help but be sad. I have been thumbing through the Post-Dispatch since I was a kid, and I think that on a grander scheme for the entirety of the Midwest, this is it's troubling. Over in Iowa and Nebraska, there are 22 other newspapers that are owned by Lee, and as I spoke to a few other people over there from news guilds, there's a lot of trepidation. There's a serious concern that if Alden comes in and slashes these newspapers, that there will be a huge hole, a giant news desert in those states. And that's something that we're seeing more and more throughout the country, these news deserts where there people don't have any access to local news. And I think as I spoke with Kathy Keeley, as I mentioned earlier, she said when there's news deserts, that means that there's all sorts of room for malfeasance and corruption, and no one's held accountable, especially in government agencies. So I think that if we were to lose the Post-Dispatch, we wouldn't have, or we would not lose the Post-Dispatch, but if it were to be cut in such a way, we would lose so much important reporting and investigation that happens here in St. Louis. And I think that would be felt by everyone, every single community here in St. Louis.
Jeff, we know what Lee Enterprises is doing in response to this. They've got this whole poison pill shareholders' rights effort. Is there anything that the average subscriber, reader of this newspaper can do at this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, just support this effort. I don't know how many people own Lee stock, but hang on to it. Buy some more. Be prepared to vote for the right people. If Alden's going to run people for the board, try to wedge its way into managing the company that way. We want to vote for the right people. But just support the paper and understand that the journalists on the ground are working with the company to try to just maintain this product, to try to maintain good, strong local journalism here. You know, we're really proud of what we're able to do with the people that we have and the work we've done, was whether it's Steve Stenger, whether it's the debtor prisons around our state, Tony Messenger's reporting on, all the things that have happened, reporting on the coronavirus and all the social unrest, things. We've been busy the last few years. Mm-hmm. And these, it's important. And again, without local journalists doing their job, who knows what governments will do, what schools will do, what police will do, what anybody will do, businesses will do, because there's nobody paying attention.
Well, Jeff Gordon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Again, I wish you were under better circumstances.
And Jeff is a St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist. He's also president of the News Guild chapter that represents Post-Dispatch staffers. And Kayvon Mansouri, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And also wishing it was under better circumstances.
One of these days, we'll get some happy news on this show, I promise. Kayvon is an investigative reporter for NPR's Midwest Newsroom. This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury, with audio engineering by Aaron Dorr and production assistance from Jane Mather Glass. It was mixed and edited by Aaron. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.